Blog Talk Radio.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flow.
When Flow flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Standing there looking at the man in the mirror. To make a change when you're so far gone. Feeling like your dreams couldn't be any further. But you're doing what you gotta do just to keep the lights on. Praying hard, I'm light of rain. But it won't let up, go away. Cause we've all seen brighter days. I'm not alone, cause I'm just one call away. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just lost now. Everything will turn back. Like you got the whole world on your shoulders. You try to walk with it, but you stumble and fall again. Out here on your own, thinking nobody loves you. And you wouldn't be mad if you didn't wake up the next day. But you're praying hard, so your knees don't feel a thing. You smile, won't fool this masquerade. If there's a God, why won't he help me through the pain? The reason why is to make a stronger man. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just for right now. Everything will turn back, oh, back around. So you don't have to stay on, you don't gotta stay off the ground. I'll pick you up. Oh, I'll pick you up, love. Oh, oh, I'll pick you up. Pick you up.
Greetings, as always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. This is the true platform for black liberation and black empowerment. This is your platform, the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled The Twilight of the American Republic. She's in the death throes now. Brothers and sisters, because time is so short and time is so limited, and especially because our show is always getting cut off, always getting muted, always getting bothered, I like to go right into the show and just talk to you for a minute about what we see happening here in America and with America and around the globe. And it bothers me somewhat because so much is out there and you're going to and fro when you don't have to, when you can get the divine wisdom that is necessary to steer you through all of these trials, tribulations, and troubles. Some of us, we get anxious. Some of us, we get frustrated. Some of us, we get fed up. And some of us, we just get flabbergasted of all the stuff that we see, especially when we're talking about America and her brutality and her viciousness and her arrogance and her evil towards you and I. But again, I say exactly what Messenger Elijah Muhammad says. I say exactly what the Bible and the Holy Quran teaches us, that prophecy must be fulfilled. We must be purified. What we're going through now is a purification process, because all are not going to be worthy to go into the hereafter. All will not be worthy to become the pillar of a new world. And this new world is merging in now on the old world. That's why there's so much trouble going on. This is why Chicago, they used to call Chicago the third city of America, meaning after New York City and after L.A., you would talk about Chicago. And now she has been victimized by crime. I want to point out to you this, too, because this is a phenomenon all over the country, because we don't get this type of reporting. A lot of the missing people, a lot of the people that are being kidnapped or killed or locked up, this is being done. This is a false flag operation or covert operation being done by the paramilitary forces of the United States, these police forces. And for those of you who don't realize this, just look at what happened in Chicago. You didn't know for years that they had sites like Guantanamo Bay in Chicago, where they would go in the neighborhoods of black community, in the black community, kidnap black youth off the street, walking from school, from work, or just walking. Randomly, they would snatch them up, victimize them, and as we had on the show before, we had the proof that not only would they victimize them and brutalize them, but they would sodomize them also and hold them for days and weeks and months without any representation. This is what the devil does. Now, Chicago is supposed to be a black city, but it is run by white people. And this is a phenomenon that's not isolated to Chicago, but because so many parents was missing their children, a movement took place, and they found out that this thing was taking place in Chicago. Well, Chicago was the template for what is going on around in America. And the police, whether you want to get this in your head or not, what the police are doing, they are kidnapping, brutalizing the youth. Also, they are killing these people and blaming it on other people so that they can wipe out two birds with one stone and lock up one while killing the other one and taking these children that they kill, organs, and harvesting these organs for big bucks. This has been proven. So the slave patrols are at it again. And you become the greatest victim, and you fall prey to the thing that they put on the TV, black-on-black violence. There's a great phenomenon of black-on-black violence when you're not understanding the dynamics of this devil and his trickology. Okay? And this is why you have turf wars and factional wars in these cities. Because the paramilitary forces, the police forces, are instigating. You telling me that when they find people and they can pinpoint you, and if you're on the run, they'll find you. They'll trace back every person that you know, family, friend, or whatever, and they can find you, but they can't find you when shooting is going on. They can pinpoint a penny from space, but they cannot find you. Are you letting this register in your head? Are you still falling victim to the media? Are you still falling victim to the trickology? Again, trickology is one of the greatest things that America puts out here. This helps her promote her, what I wouldn't call them morals or values, because they are no value to anyone who succumbs to them. I would say her culture of violence, her culture of brutality, and it also gives her a justification to patrol your environment, your communities, to victimize you again, to kill you, and to lock you up. Now, I'm saying these things because of the gun violence in Chicago and around America, and the killings that is going on in America. See, what we're living in is the twilight of the American Republic. Most of you don't know this, that America is in the death throes now. If you go back to all of the great so-called empires, all of them suffered similar fates. And especially if you look to ancient Egypt and Pharaoh, this is not what you're seeing going on in America. This is nothing new. Egypt was a template for what you see going on in America. And so if you study these histories, you'll understand the outcome of such a cruel and brutal people in their society. That is why it is declining. That is why it is in, it is no longer progressing. It is in regression. That is why it is in decay. Because violence begets violence, right? Theft begets theft. Deceit begets deceit. America has deceived you. She deceives the nation. Now the nations are deceiving her. She's robbed the nation, and now the nations are getting ready to rob her. She's robbed you, and then she looks at you as though you the thief. She is violent with you, and when you defend your life, they'll say, oh, regardless of what goes on, they weren't supposed to fight the police back. Man, it's better to be judged by 12 than be carried by 6. Is that not right? Nature, one of the first laws of nature, as a matter of fact, the first law of nature, is self-preservation. But you become so hostile to black unity and black consciousness that you have digressed, just like the American culture and society. And that's why we're living in the twilight of the American Republic. She's in decline, she's fallen, and there's nothing that can rebuff or put off what is going on. Again, what you see in America, what you see in Chicago, what you see in Minneapolis, what you see in New Orleans, these things here are just a microcosm. They're a snapshot at America proper. And this, when you see how America deals with you, then you can understand why she deals with the nations of the earth the way she does. She's violent with you. She's unjust with you. She's a liar to you, right? And how does she conduct her foreign policy? In the same manner, is that not right? And this is blowing, giving her blowback. Look at what's going on within her borders. This is blowback. The slave is saying no more. And the nations around the earth are what? What are they yelling? No more. We don't want the Yankees here. We don't want the empire around us. And we're prepared to fight to the death for our liberation and freedom. So you are being an example for the other people around the world. because they know that you're God, you're the apple of God's eye. And so America's suffering from the death throes now. She's fallen. She will not be able to recover. I don't care what Peter Schiff, Jefferson, no matter what good thoughts they tell you, they often say, well, America will fall. You hear all of the white scholars say, it's a mathematical certainty. And then they'll come right back. They'll tell you the corruption. They'll tell you how the system is a bloodsucker. They'll tell you how it is in such a situation that there's no way that this can be avoided. This is the worst debt situation in the history of the world. Then they'll say, but afterwards, when we rebuild, no. You've had your chance at rulership. Don't you understand? And it has been proven distasteful for the people and dissatisfying for not only the slave, but the slave master. Therefore, the system and those who have built the system and maintained it must be removed. If you remove the system and leave the people who built the system and they have nothing else, guess what they'll do? They will rebuild that which you destroyed. Therefore, you must take it from the root and destroy the system and the people who built it, profited from it, and maintained it. Is that not right? We're talking about science. We're talking about common sense. We're talking about the twilight of the American Republic. Black men and black women, I'm telling you, all around the country, the great American bandit is suffering. All she's bleeding within, this is that cut, death by a thousand cuts. This is what Muhammad talked about when he talked about the sword within and the sword without. The slaves are rising up. America is losing her authority around the world. She's been challenged on every front globally. And she's been challenged within her own borders by her slaves, by the dissatisfaction of her own people, right? By the growing uncertainty for the future, for her citizens. For the growing problem of debt, the growing problem of unemployment, the growing problem of government ineptitude and hypocrisy, is this not what you see taking place today in America? And the violence that you look at America carrying out in Syria and around the globe, you see her carrying out within her own borders, especially against the people who built America's society for free. So we're at a point now, we're at a juncture now, where the same thing that took place in ancient Egypt under wicked Pharaoh is now taking place without a doubt in modern Egypt and under modern Pharaoh, which is America. These things must take place, and you must gird your loins because this is the way prophecy demands it. Okay? I know a lot of people get mad at me because I say these things, and they have it in their mind. Well, if we do this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, and they'll take what he says out of context. They don't take it in its totality. And this is the problem. And they're not doing this in line with prophecy. Muhammad says, take my words and put them on a scale of facts and weigh them. That means you must enact mathematics to prove or disprove what he says. Okay? And he constantly tells you that prophecy must be what? Fulfilled. So when you want to see what's going on here, what you do? Since history is a good teacher for you, what you do? You got to go to history, right? Come on, talk back to your brother. 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. Seriously, I'm talking to you, black man and black woman. I don't know if they're going to cut us off. You know they're known for this. I don't know if they'll mute me. They're known for this. I don't know if they'll block me, just like I wanted to do a show Tuesday, a live show. But see, this goes to the twilight of the American Republic. Wanted to do a show Tuesday. Was up till when I got home, did all the preparations, got everything, was downloading the clips, everything. Getting ready to try to, they were shooting the clips out. Every time I was trying to download a clip, it would get to 100%. Oh, when I downloaded, it went through. Then when I uploaded to Blog Talk Radio, it would get to 100% on every clip, and then rejected. And this took place to like 2:30 in the morning. And finally, I just said, forget it. You know, let me see if I can put a trick them a little bit and put something on for you. And that's why there was a replay. So whenever you hear stuff like that, know that Blog Talk Radio is playing these little games behind closed doors. They don't want you to understand the time. They're not trying to get you to understand what is truly taking place in America. They don't want you to understand that we are in the judgment and America has fallen headlong first into this judgment. You understand? I want you to see just the problem that is going on within America, especially in Chicago, okay? And we'll be right back. This is about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, 40 seconds, something like that. Pay close attention to this.
The numbers are in from the city of Chicago following another bloody weekend. The Windy City saw more than 40 people shot and several people killed. In fact, there were 4th of July holiday weekdays was one of the deadliest the city has seen in decades, leaving more than 100 people shot and at least 14 dead. Manila Chan has been tracking these numbers, and she joins us for the details tonight. Staggering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Ed. This past weekend wasn't a whole lot better than the 4th of July weekend, as you mentioned. 40 people shot, 3 left dead. Many of the victims were part of a multi-victim incident that swept across the city for the second weekend in a row. One attack in particular on a Southside beach, which also involved an officer-related shooting death as the police returned fire on a gunman. Seems like this, driving up the number of people injured by gun violence. The most recent tally of victims to date, according to the Chicago Tribune, show that by July 5th, there have been a grand total of nearly 1,900 people shot as compared to almost 2,100 the year before. And if you take a look here, you'll see this blue line as it climbs here right around when the summer months roll around. According to crime statistics and reports from the FBI and local police departments, this is a common trend in all crimes across all cities in America as the weather gets warm. Crime spikes. Based on the trends we're seeing here, while the number of shootings in Chicago are very high, 2017 is tracking to see less bloodshed than 2016. And most months of 2017 in the Windy City thus far proving to be extremely violent, but significantly less than the year before. Here you can see the month-over-month numbers, 2016 and 17. July still short, still early in the month, though. If that trend continues, that'll be good news for Chicago, but surprisingly, while these numbers are staggering, Chicago is not the deadliest city in America. It's getting a lot of national press, but according to the FBI, these are the top 20 deadliest cities in the United States. And the most murderous city in America per capita is actually New Orleans, followed by Detroit, St. Louis, and Baltimore. And way down towards the bottom of this list, coming in at 18, is actually where Chicago lands. So, you know, Ed, it's fascinating to me that actually nobody's really talking about these numbers here. These are real numbers per capita. And, in fact, the district, the nation's capital, we land right at number 13. Numbers like these aren't a Chicago problem. We're seeing a national epidemic of gun violence, Ed.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Manila. Appreciate that.
Did you hear that? This is not just confined to Chicago anymore. This is a national epidemic. This is what they're telling you. A national epidemic. And what most of you don't know is that this is the judgment. And these things must now take place. There's a time, there's a season unto all things. And because God is now present, the scripture teaches us that these things would take place. This is why I continue to tell you, please gird your loins and deal with this at this moment, because this must take place. For all those who rejected Messenger Elijah Muhammad, you got to suffer. And for those of you who are mocking him, you will suffer, because Allah is not cheap. You understand? And the same thing, remember, there were those who looked like Moses that mocked Moses, right? They had to suffer. Is that not right? God didn't just pluck all of the people up out of the midst of Pharaoh, out of the midst of Egypt. He made the people suffer, the good and the bad. The good had to suffer along with the bad so that the bad wouldn't say, well, they would be doing this and they would be doing that if you wouldn't have taken them out. Okay? I want to share something with you about, they were talking about national trend of violence, right? So let us go and let us try to see something. And right now, my dashboard is going in and out. But I told you, I don't know where these people will do this foolishness, but of course they will do it at one point or another while we're doing this show. Just deal with it. If you get knocked off the air, call back in. If you're online and you get knocked off, go back to the URL and reboot yourself, refresh yourself, and come back to the most powerful platform for truth anywhere. This is the Star and Crescent Report. This is the vehicle and voice of the entire nation, the black nation. So, the woman says this. This is an epidemic, a national epidemic. Let us understand what she's saying. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word epidemic means affecting or tending to affect a disproportionately large number of individuals within a population, community, or region at the same time. Excessively prevalent. Characterized by very widespread growth or extent of, relating to, or constituting an epidemic. Now, so we know that this is affecting the nation. We know that this thing is viral. We know that America is being brought to her knees. I want to get to something, because I saw something as I was talking to you. Open up, Our Savior Has Arrived. Yeah, chapter 34. Evidently, this has something to do with what we're talking about, okay? Whenever these books open up, especially when I'm moving around and stuff, I immediately try to go to them because I think Allah is showing me something in them for you to, so that you can extract something out of it, okay? But let's go on page, since I'm down here, page 183. All right? He said, and the name of the chapter is called, oh, man, that's beautiful, Days of the Son of Man, Confusion of Nations. See that? Look, we're talking about how America is, she has been hit by the judgment and how the people are confused and how we're seeing violence everywhere. This must take place because we are now in the days of the Son of Man. That means his presence is among us now. No longer waiting for a spirit to come. We have the physical man of God in person amongst us. And this is causing untold confusion of nations. This is that cloud that the book teaches you, that God would come in the clouds having power and great glory. Meaning he would come in the confusion of the minds and the thinking of the people. And because he would institute justice and issue judgment, it would confuse the people because we have been living in an unjust world and our thinking was warped. So let us go here. All praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It must be something here if it opened up here. So let's go to the third paragraph and we'll read it down until we come to something. Bear with you, brother. I do this live. The Son of Man, spoken of as coming in the last days, is the son of original man. The black man, I'm telling you, black people. Therefore, they have it right when they say he is the son of man. That is the original man, the black man. The great Mahdi, the God and judge who is now present in the world, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me that his father was a real black man. His father went up into the mountains, the governments of the Caucasians, picking out a white woman to marry so that she would give birth to a son looking white, but yet the father is black. First of all, this goes in hand with the scriptures when it talks about the Jesus, how he came in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. He came looking similar to the man of sin, so that he can get amongst his people unnoticed, black man and black woman. Okay? Everything is real. Ain't no spooks around here. But let's go further. This makes the preachings of the Christians that he's a made man to take the burden of seeking the lost found people from out of the midst of their captors who are white. He would do this work in a day that they least expected. Therefore, the Bible says he came without observation as a thief in the night of spiritual darkness here. Now I think we're getting to where I need to be at because I'm looking at something. This is where we need to be at. This is why the book opened up, okay? He says, as to the days of the Son of Man, I would rather say they refer to years rather than days consisting of 24 hours. The Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. This means years, as it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. Stop right there. So people say, well, Elijah Muhammad said in 1965 or 66 or 71 that America would fall, that this would mark the end of the white man's world. Blah, blah. It takes years. There's an after effect. You understand? So that's why you see all of the monetary scholars telling you, pointing back to these significant dates of the early 50s when they started dabbling in robbing silver out of the coin, to the 65 and 66 when they robbed the silver out of the coin, from 70 and 71 when they took the world off the gold and silver standard. All of this is now coming back to haunt them. It ain't just happened when they took it off, but we're now feeling the after effects of it. You understand? And now we can say with a surety that we are now living in the twilight of the American Republic. So Muhammad says, there is so much that has to be done. Stop right there. So in the fall of a nation, in the fall of a world, there's so much that must be done, that must take place, because God is now present and he's seeking that which was lost, those who were captives of another people. And they have been brainwashed into the mind, the culture, the politics, the religion, and the thoughts of their captors. They had Stockholm Syndrome. They identified with their oppressors more so than their own kind. So God comes to remove the Stockholm Syndrome from them. Therefore, if you were beaten in this condition, you must be beaten out of it. You understand? So he is allowing this to take place and that to take place. Be patient. Let God do his work. He never fails. He doesn't make mistakes. He's a mathematical God with precision. So, as we see the violence in Chicago and New Orleans and around the world, and around America, as we see the debt explode in America and around the world, as we see the division between the population and the government, and the government and the government, and as we see the declining statue of America domestically and internationally, we can recognize that she is now under a heavy burden that she can't escape. God is doing this for a reason. He is removing the luster, the attractiveness of your enemies. You stay with him because he can provide you a job. Well, what if I take that job away from him? You love him because he can give you this. What if I take everything away from him? Well, he's still feeding my belly. Well, what if I cause a famine to take the land? How you going to be attracted to him? Then, with all of the smoke and mirrors out the way, you actually get an in-depth look at the magician and his trick knowledge. And then you see it bad that he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. He's a con artist. He's greedy for everything materialistic. He has no ethics or morals, and he would kill you, your mother, and your children if the opportunity presents itself for $5 or $10 or $20 and call it collateral damage. So you're getting to look at this. In the same way he's bombing you here in America, he's bombing them overseas. The whole world is awakening because these are the days of the Son of Man. And the great whore that fornicated with the entire world, that threatened the nations to come out and challenge her, right? It's being exposed into view. You're getting a good look at that. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. So Muhammad says, may I tell you, all praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So Muhammad says, there's so much that has to be done. Listen closely, black man and black woman. People have to be convinced that he is justified to remove the world of sin, for the world of sin has ruled the people for 6,000 years. So how do you become convinced that it is time for a new system when the old system turns inwardly and starts eating all the cogs and gears that keeps it going? And if you're one of the cogs and gears that sees it and want to survive, you're saying this is no good anymore. We must transition to something new. Right? But if they didn't take the world off the gold and silver standard, if they didn't rob the currency of gold, right? If they weren't greedy for money and transferred their manufacturing capacity to Asia, we wouldn't be sitting in this position today to see just how evil and wicked America is and how she's prepared to fight tooth and nail and even to a thermonuclear war to maintain her hegemonic policies over you and the nations of the earth. These things had to take place to convince people, and some other people still must be convinced of the time. That's why you're seeing all of these things taking place. Think about this. You're suffering from Stockholm. This man is beaten and robbed and killed you and your family for ever since you've been amongst him. He's divided you. He's offered some of you a little what he calls success. And then you disassociate yourself with people who you struggled with, people who you would claim that if I made $1 million, I'll do this and do. And all of that changes because you want to keep his good side. You want to be accepted and respected in his society. You want to live good and drive the Mercedes Benz. You disassociate yourself with your people, your family, and all that stuff. So you got to be convinced. Think about this. This man flooded your community with drugs, guns, and started sectarian and turf wars, and then locks you up and passes policies and builds institutions to lock you up, those who don't get killed, to lock you up, and you still are not convinced that this man is the devil. You see it happening. You hear him reporting it. So therefore, you must suffer something to wake you up. Remember that the prodigal son had to go through so much before he started to take a look at what his father had offered him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we are those prodigal sons and daughters of God, and that we must go through a level of purification to force us to see what God has offered us. All right? Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Listen to what he said. People have to be convinced that he is justified to remove the world of sin. For the world of sin has ruled the people for 6,000 years. There are so many people who are sold to the idea of wicked world rulers. Why? Because they can buy things now. When they were suffering, they couldn't buy nothing. Okay? When they were down in the dumps, they wanted a change. But when they get into the system, get a political office, they become corrupt. They become satisfied with what slave master is offering, and you try to get along with the slave master. Don't you know all your brain power, all your labor still goes towards maintaining his society? And for that to cease, God must reveal this devil and must put you through the fire so that you can recognize what's going on and reject Satan and accept God's offer for eternal life. I hope you guys are following me. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. And I ask anyone who is listening, who has a problem with what I'm saying, to dispute me on facts, not on what you think, but on facts. Okay? And if you cannot dispute the facts, please just be quiet and listen. We're living in the twilight of the American Republic. She's in the death throes now. So Muhammad goes further. We flipped over on the page. I told you, God, when he does these things to show things, show me things to show you. So, he goes further and says, the days of the Son of Man represent the days or years that he will be judging the world and punishing the world for her evil. Now, brothers and sisters, follow along with me because we're going to get into this, okay? We're going to get into this, and I'm going to play another clip in just a second. You just wait patiently, and please don't be mad at your brother, okay? All right? So he says, the days of the Son of Man represent the days or years that he will be judging the world and punishing the world for her evil. The Son of Man is gathering, listen to this part right here, because this is highlighted here in my book. So evidently, I thought something great about this. I think great about all of it, but certain things stand out. So this is highlighted. And it says, the Son of Man is gathering, teaching, and training his people right in the midst of this wicked world. Uh-oh. In the midst of the wicked world? Why? Why? He gives you the answer. His people have gotten experience of the wicked world, and he teaches them now how to avoid the wicked world and its teachings and yet live in the midst of it. Listen closely. Because some of us, we don't look at wording, okay? So I'm reading this slow, and sometimes I'll back up. I'll rewind myself a little bit and read it again so that you can listen to the positioning of words, so that you can get a thorough understanding of what is written, okay? The Son of Man is gathering, teaching, and training his people right in the midst of this wicked world. So we're not on the outside of it, we're in the midst of it, right? Okay, now listen to what he says. His people have gotten experience of the wicked world, and he teaches them how now to avoid the wicked world and its teachings and yet live in the midst of it. Okay? This is the first part of the separation, black man and black woman. Do you get this? Now he goes. They're living in the midst of the evil world and yet avoiding it proves their worthiness. Since they have gotten experience living in the evil world, and now they turn to righteousness while they are still in the midst of the evil world. These people have an experience of both evil and good. Then, if these are brought out of the evil world, these people are the people that he said he saved out of the fire. Bam! You understand? This is the part of the separation. You're going to have to go through this stuff here before you can be separated, because God got a purification process that's going on. He's removing the impurities and the dross within you. So he's letting Satan, remember in the Bible, Satan and God was talking. When the sons of God walked amongst God, they didn't even know that Satan was amongst them. And to God said, "Where comest thou from, Satan?" Right? And Satan replied, "From to and fro, from up and down." He was talking about he was crossing up the world and their thinking, crossing up the people and all of their culture. He was taking them from their original thoughts and actions and crossing them up. You understand? And so they at that conversation, God told him, "You know, have you considered my servant Job, one perfect in all he's doing, right?" And Satan said, "Man, I tell you what, for this man's life, any man's life, he'll do anything to save his own life." And Satan told God, "I'll make him curse you to your face." And God told Satan, "Go do what you do. Don't touch a hair on his head." And listen to what he said, because this right here throws the Christians upside down. Then he tells Satan, he didn't tell Jesus, he told Satan, "Go save his life." Why would God give authority to the devil, to Satan, to save the life of his most excellent servant, Job? Okay? You ever wonder that? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Job is a reflection and an example of the black man and woman here in America. Right? And the reason God tells Satan to go save his life is he wanted you, in our lesson book, you know, we are taught certain things, and I won't quote stuff verbatim because I think certain things are meant behind closed doors. But in the lesson book, we're asked, why did we make devil, right? And we give an answer, and I won't give you the book answer. I just beat around and give you a summation of the answer, okay? But it was like the show proved that we can make devil and not fall victim to this devil society, you know, because this devil was a hidden wisdom within the black man, right? And so when we gave it a form, the Christians used to preach about this, about if you give me a body, so we gave that thought of, and that wisdom a form, right? And we did not fall, the black nation did not fall victim to that, right? And after living in this devil society, or this hidden wisdom that we had in us. And not falling victim, we removed that devil. But we had to experience a wisdom that we had never experienced before. This is the same thing. So when we're talking about Satan saving Job's life, what he's telling him is that go put him through the fire. Go put him in your society. Right? And I guarantee you that he'll endure whatever you put that's contrary to his nature. He will eventually come back because he would find that so dissatisfying, so distasteful. And he would realize and recognize that he's riding with God because that's his nature with God. Right? His nature is God. You understand? So America's doing the same thing. She's purifying us. She's trying to kill us. Some of us will die. But she's purifying the black nation with her evilness. Because if she did not do the things that she did not do and her wickedness was not on display, you would not start rejecting her. You would not start looking for another way out. Those who were talking about separation was not the key, right, are now contemplating what it would look like to separate. You can hear it on Facebook. You can see it in the media. You can see it in the movements. You can see it in the protests, right? But 20 years ago, this was not the case, right? So many people have to be convinced, right? This is what we're talking about. I told you, when Allah opened these books, he opened them up for a reason. Now, because we're looking at the fall of one word, we're looking at the fall of the greatest pillar of power in the last 4,000 years. I say 4,000 years. In the last 4,000 years. America being the greatest power militarily and economically and politically in the last 4,000 years of this white man's world. We're looking at her collapse, and with her sudden collapse means the collapse of Anglo or white power universally. Right? And now the scientists are saying similar things about we're looking at a mass extinction. Is that not right? They won't tell you the true meaning of it, but they're giving you a hint. The devil's not going to come straight out and just tell you everything, but he will give you a glimpse, and I want to ask you this. Why are they reporting these things? Why are all these movies coming out about salvation and about judgment and about the collapse of society in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Huh? I'm asking you these things because sometimes we don't think. Sometimes we don't weigh facts. Sometimes we don't discern between truth and falsehood. Sometimes we're not inquisitive enough when our life is on the line to do research. So why are they now talking about these things? And they're not just talking about an economic collapse on the scale of 1930. They're saying what will happen will be biblical. Isn't that what they're saying? To describe the depths of what will take place. And you got scientists now warning of collapse. And remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says once every 25,000 years, the black nation takes on a renewal. Right? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that after the rule of Satan, after his 6,000 years, right, we will wipe away his society, his people and his society, and usher in something new that no eye have seen, nor ear have heard, nor has it yet entered into the heart of man what God has for you. Is that not right? So what he's saying is that we're entering the stage of arm age of the dawn, Armageddon. We are in the final stages of the judgment. And one world is on his way out, while one world is being established. Is that not right? So the scientists now are warning of a mass extinction, and they're doing it freely. I want you to listen to this. This two-minute clip. They're talking about mass extinction. The same thing that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. I think he says he talks about how a large portion of the population of the earth must be removed. A very large part of the population got to die. Some of you don't want to hear that, but I got to deal with facts. And this is why you see the wars. You understand? And whether you see other people not giving you this stuff, they don't tell it to you like this because they want to be your friend. I want to be your friend, but only if we can do this with truth. I'm not going to be your yes man. I'm not going to come to you the way you want. I'm going to do it the way that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad lays it out and how Scripture teaches us right? And you can take it or reject it. To me, it's immaterial. But I'm doing my duty as a civilized man, trying to teach you civilization, because sometimes, even with your bow tie or your Muslim garment on, you're uncivilized. Okay? So I want you to understand that they see something coming that will change the course of history and remove their world from power. They're not openly saying it, but if they're telling you about a mass extinction level event that will destroy mankind or could destroy mankind, keyword, then they're letting you know that we're in for something that can destroy their world, their society. Is that not right? Is that not right? I want you to listen to this. This is only 2 minutes, so be patient with your brother. Okay? We still got like 30 minutes. Be patient with your brother. Hear this right here.
Scientists from Mexico City and Stanford universities published new research revealing a mass extinction is underway. Earth's past extinctions have often associated with sudden catastrophic events or drastic climate changes. But according to the research, the current mass extinction is largely caused by humans. RT's Trinity Chavez has more.
In the last 500 years, there have been 5 mass extinctions where many species rapidly die off, disappearing forever. Now scientists are warning that we are in the midst of a 6th mass extinction and humans are to blame.
We are now moving into another one of these events that could easily ruin the lives of everybody on the planet.
The study notes that human overpopulation, size, and growth as some of the driving factors behind the destruction of species on Earth, which is having a negative impact on ecosystems. Now the scientists are warning if certain measures are not taken, wildlife faces further biological annihilation and the window of opportunity is closing rapidly.
When you look at a conservative estimate of how fast mammals are going extinct today, it runs somewhere between, say, 15 and 100 times as fast as the new fast rate from the past.
Nearly 30% of the 27,600 land-based mammals, bird, amphibians, and reptile species studied are decreasing in terms of their numbers and territorial range. The researchers called that an extremely high degree of population decay. The scientists also analyzed 177 mammal species and found that all of them had at least lost a third of their territory between 1900 and 2015, and nearly half of those species experienced severe population declines. But researchers say that it's not just the species being wiped out that poses a problem, but also populations dwindling so they can't fill their role in an ecosystem.
We are not likely to lose the honeybee as a species, but we're already losing it in lots of places where it's very important, say, for pollinating your almond orchards.
According to the study, researchers say that it's not too late to avoid this extinction from happening, but it'll take great effort to conserve the already threatened species to alleviate some of the pressures of their population. Reporting in New York, Trinity Chavez, RT.
So Messenger Muhammad teaches us in a chapter in Our Savior Has Arrived, it's titled, The Cruel Days of the Lord. And in this, he asks the question, what causes these days to be cruel when God himself is a righteous God? So I'm going to leave that part on your mind for a second, and I'm going to go down somewhere. I want you to listen to this. The real owner, the real God and owner of the earth comes in angry like a man who returns home and finds someone in his house who has destroyed his house and his best furniture, and who has beat up those whom the real owner has left among the erstwhile owner. The Bible prophesies of the coming of God with anger. He is very angry against the evil people, and he is ready to destroy them from the face of the earth. Listen, we're in a mass extinction level event. They're telling you these things, right? They're telling you, but you know what they're telling you? We're in a judgment. Isn't that what's supposed to take place in a judgment? Huh? That God would separate the wheat and the tares, and he would destroy the tares and put the wheat in his storehouse of harvest? Is that not right? Come on, black man and black woman, you know what I'm saying is true. So we're looking at the removal of an entire species. They're telling you this. And why would it start taking place? They didn't say it was coming or it may happen. They say it's already underway. Matter of fact, I'm going to play part of that again. I want you to listen to what they said about this. Pay close attention to this, if they allow me to play it. All right? Hold on 1 second. Hopefully they'll allow me to play this.
Scientists from Mexico City and Stanford universities published new research revealing a mass extinction is underway. Earth's past extinctions have often associated with sudden catastrophic events or drastic climate change.
It's underway. And why are they reporting it in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Do we ever ask those questions? We're living in a time where one world is going out and another one is coming in. And this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. And because America is so wicked, she's number one on God's list for destruction. All right? Now, we're still in America right now. Hopefully we'll have time to cover what's going on around the world, but we're going to deal with America right now and her wickedness and evil against you and I. Okay? So, being the number one most wicked and evil nation and people on earth, the most deceitful, the most bloodthirsty and materialistic people on the planet, and the way she treats you justifies God removing her, right? Remember what we were reading when we were looking for how God would had to be justified to show the people that he was justified in removing the people? Listen, he says, the Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. This means years, as it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. There is so much that has to be done. People have to be convinced that he is justified to remove the world of sin. You see? So what you're seeing on display is the justification for God removing her. You understand? For if these events did not take place, God could not justify the removal of her. He's a just God. He's a mathematical God. He's a precise God. Right? So, this is where we are today. America's on her way out. Because she's still, with all of this, think about this, you were the burden bearers, your fathers, your mothers, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, your great-grandfathers, great-grandmothers, your great-greats, and your great-great-greats were the burden bearers of America without pay. Sun up, sun down. Sun up, sun down. To build this nation with free labor and brain power. And sacrificing yourself on the battlefield for whomsoever she pointed or anointed as the enemy. And yet, you still suffer disgrace at home. And you still have these people, KKKs and all of this, protesting against you. This is a justification for a removal. Because she has not been just to you, and she refuses to be just to you. As a matter of fact, let us throw another clip in. This is the fourth minute clip. Pay close attention to it.
The Ku Klux Klan held a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, protesting against the removal of a Robert E. Lee statue. The statue of a Confederate general, which for many stands as a symbol of state-sponsored and sanctioned racism. Virginia is an open carry state, so the KKK came armed and advised the public they would defend themselves against any threat. Charlottesville authorities asked residents to stay home in order to avoid any violent confrontations with the KKK. But our very own Ashley Banks was there.
Klansmen from the Loyal White Knights, located in Pelham, North Carolina, are here in Charlottesville, Virginia, protesting against the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue. Now, they're arguing that if that statue is removed, then it's removing white history. However, counter-protesters are saying that the statue needs to be removed because it stands for white supremacy and it has no place in this city.
You're going to hell!
In February, the city council in Charlottesville voted 3-2 to remove the Robert E. Lee statue. For many, the statue represents America's dark past with racism. A part of the vote was also to rename the park where the statue is located. Once called Lee Park, it's been renamed Emancipation Park. Many gathered to voice their support of the removal of the statue, while others took pictures in front of it, displeased with the city council's vote.
I don't live in Charlottesville, but my kids live too close to here for this to be going on. This is not acceptable in 2017.
The KKK were granted a park permit to hold their rally for an hour in Justice Park, just two blocks from Emancipation Park, giving speeches intended for the protesters. After arriving an hour late to their own rally, protesters drowned out their voices, forcing them to leave after a mere 30 minutes. Authorities and city officials advised people to stay away from the Klan and stay at home. However, 300 to 400 protesters showed up, saying you can't hide from racism, you need to confront the Klan head on.
Since Trump has been elected,
on all levels of this, from this group to that group to all around the country. They're trying to pull back the clock on white supremacy and institutional racism. The white people that voted for Trump want that stuff to come back. They feel threatened.
Moments before the rally began, officers equipped with riot gear moved in, slamming some protesters to the ground and then arrested four of them.
The police attacked a Klan, not black people!
Many protesters were disgusted with the sight that it appeared law enforcement was protecting the Klan, given their violent history against black Americans.
How do they protect that? How do they have the right to go have hate speech in the middle of a freaking crowd? How do they have that right? They don't. It's not okay. Hate speech is not free speech. It's not.
What's going on?
You worried about that band?
You like me. You understand.
That band's running.
You understand. These people ancestors may have hung our ancestors. You feel me? These people ancestors may have hung our ancestors.
Charlottesville police officers made a secure path as they escorted the Klan into the rally. The officers stood facing protesters while Klan members attempted to give speeches using one microphone and a speaker. Protesters called the Klan terrorists and yelled at officers for protecting the hate group.
We saw today that there's a huge mobilization for people who are really concerned about white supremacy, who know that white supremacy is deeply rooted in Charlottesville, and that we're saying that we will protect each other.
Protesters believe in order to start the process of removing white supremacy in Charlottesville, this statue and statues like it need to be removed. A hearing is scheduled for this November. If the city of Charlottesville decides that it wants to remove the Robert E. Lee statue, then it will either be sold to an educational institution, a museum, or a nonprofit organization. I'm Ashley Banks in Charlottesville, Virginia, RT.
So, again, we go back to that mass extinction, that extinction level event that they're talking about. Do you see why God is justified in removing them? And this is why this mass extinction or this extinction level event is underway. Even after all your sacrifice, look, you see what's going on in America. And this won't change. You can't put stripes on a jaguar and claim that it's a tiger, right? You can't stretch the neck of a horse and then paint it orange and fool me and say that that's a giraffe, right? You cannot put the devil in suits and ties and tell me he is a righteous man. We can tell by his policies. We can tell by his actions. We can tell by the way he conducts his policies and actions against everybody. And then we'll say that, no, he's not righteous because his actions and his words don't square up. He might have a suit on. He may be in a business tie. It may be in government. But they don't square up. So many people have to be convinced. Is that not right? So you see them out there protesting and fighting and being brutalized, and the police are protecting the Klan while brutalizing and victimizing the black protesters. This is America. You can't make this stuff up. The twilight of the American Republic stands before us. America is in the death throes. Okay? So, Muhammad says, we cannot fault the wicked for doing wickedness because that is what they, the white race, are made out of. They cannot do good because of the nature in which they are made. So the God, being God, good himself by nature, he is angry to find his house torn and his people mistreated. And no one of the house offered his people any mercy. No justice, says Isaiah, justice standards afar off. Freedom, justice, and equality is something that the black people have not known. So the master, the owner of the house, which is the earth, is angry. He threatens to destroy those who were given the rights to rule for a time. So here we are with that mass extinction, that extinction level event. Their time is up, so says the Lord. And their time has been up for a long time. But they were given a little overtime. And in the little overtime that was given to them, they have not made themselves any better. They have become worse. So it is written that they are disagreeable to live with in peace, which shows that regardless of how much overtime is given to them, that does not change their nature, which is to do evil himself, and he shall deliver his black people from such evil rule of the wicked. Not we, not they, not them, not us, but he, singular. He shall deliver his people from such evil rule of the wicked. You understand? This is why Messenger Muhammad teaches us that we got to learn the past, the present, and the future tense and perfect tense of words so that we can understand what is being written, what is being said to us. You understand? So, they are bearing witness that we are now in the judgment and their world is being wiped away. And the strongest pillar of power in the midst of this is still savagely going after the ex-slave. Now, and she's doing it with a lot of technology. Now, this goes back to some Brother Saladin used to say. He said, brother, it was given us in the temple. I think he told me. If I might be wrong with the date. I think he told me in the 50s at the time. He told me so many things in the 50s and so many things in the 60s. And so I'm not sure if it was the late 50s or the early 60s. He said, the messenger said that this devil would be fighting these wars on multiple fronts. And he would go to the prison and to the schools and would tell the people that I have a future for you in my military. And he would go to the prison, the black people serving life bids and long sentences, and offer them a way out. Go out here and join my military and fight these wars over here. The messenger said, don't do that. I remember Saladin telling me this. I think the brother told me this in the late, I think 1990 when he was telling me this. And he says, I could be wrong on the dates, brothers and sisters, but he says that the messenger said, don't do it. Even with our brothers and sisters who are locked up, be patient. The prison doors will come open because they won't have people to staff them because of the plight in the judgments that will take place within America. I hope y'all listening to me. He says, but they would try to enforce a backdoor draft because they'll be losing so many people, right? In these wars, and they'll be manipulating the numbers of the deaths, right? And the wars, okay? And we're seeing that going on today. And now you have Rahm Emanuel, the war criminal. And might I add that his father was a war criminal who slaughtered thousands of Palestinians. I'm talking about Rahm Emanuel's father was one of the ones who took Palestine and Jerusalem. You understand what I'm saying? And slaughtered children, women, lame, and elderly men and women. Rahm Emanuel, the advisor to once President Bill Clinton and to Obama, that Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of the city of Chicago, he's a war criminal. How in the hell can you be an American citizen and you serving in a foreign military? You know he has citizenship in Israel. He was an officer in the Israeli army. You know that? I'm talking about Rahm Emanuel. He's an intelligence agent for Israel. Did you know that? He and his father has blood all over them, not just in Chicago, but around the globe. I'm just letting you know this. And so now they're trying to institute this backdoor draft, telling the black youth, you know the unemployment rate is nearly 100% for black youth in Chicago. I think it's like 92. I think I played the clip where it was 92 or 93%. Well, now they're telling the youth that before you can get your diploma, you will have to either join the military or show us a plan what you're going to do. See, this is going back to what Saladin told me that was to be instituted in America. And I know, and when I heard this a few days ago, or at the first part of this week, the first thing came to my mind, Brother Saladin told me that. And he said the messenger told them all that this would start to take place. Because America would start hemorrhaging from her wars. She would start losing people at exceptional rates, and she would try to mask it and hide it. And she would turn right to the ex-slave to try to get them to fight her war. do this and I'll do that. And he said, remember, she will never keep a promise to you. All right? So, I hope you are paying close attention. I'm going to play this clip, but I want you to see the technology, how the devil masks and hides his true intentions and try to pretend like he's doing something malevolent or something benevolent for you when he's actually doing something to try to lock you up or kill you or to prevent you from breaking out in your own independent thinking, in your own independent way, to do something for your own people. This is the way they work. But if you're not sharp, they'll get over on you. All right? Pay close attention. This is about 5 minutes. Pay close attention to this, please.
On to the city of Chicago, where Mayor Rahm Emanuel has proposed a new public high school graduation requirement starting in 2020. Chicago will become the first city to demand that high school seniors must show proof of a job or college acceptance before graduating. If students cannot show proof of what they'll be doing upon graduation, they will have the option of either enrolling in the military, taking a gap year, or having their high school diploma withheld. Many are critical of Emanuel's rule taking effect in 3 years, arguing this will do more harm than good. Joining me to discuss this further is Luther Mercer, education advocate.
I stopped there for a minute just to let you hear something, to clarify something. In this program, when it says show proof of what you're going to do if you're going to college, you notice this is happening when more people are questioning college and college degrees because it is stacking these people with debt upon debt upon debt. And this is another way to force you into more debt. They're taking away your choice of whether or not you want to go to college or vocational school. To force you to do this, if you don't do this, we'll withhold your diploma. Then you won't get a job, if there is any job. But if you show us that you're not going to college and you say you want to join the military, okay, then we'll help you. Do you see how the devil is playing? But he's trying to pretend like he's doing this in such a benevolent way that he is looking out for your well-being, when in reality he's putting more food, more fuel in the engine of the empire. You paying close attention? I'm going to replay that. I want you to pay close attention to this.
On to the city of Chicago, where Mayor Rahm Emanuel has proposed a new public high school graduation requirement starting in 2020. Chicago will become the first city to demand that high school seniors must show proof of a job or college acceptance before graduating. If students cannot show proof of what they'll be doing upon graduation, they will have the option of either enrolling in the military, taking a gap year, or having their high school diploma withheld. Many are critical of Emanuel's rule taking effect in 3 years, arguing this will do more harm than good. Joining me to discuss this further is Luther Mercer, education advocate and lawyer. Thank you so much for joining us, Luther. Now, this new rule that Rahm Emanuel is proposing on these high school seniors, in your opinion, is this fair?
Hello, Ashley. Thank you for having me. I think one of the challenges that we see going forward is being more intentional and goal setting for young youth. And I think one of the things that Rahm Emanuel's plan is trying to do is answer that question. How do we best prepare youth for the challenges of going out into the world in the 21st century? And what are the things within the system can we do in order to affect that change?
I want to read you a quote from Karen Lewis, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, who brings up just what you said. She said, quote, "It sounds good on paper, but the problem is that when you've cut the number of counselors in schools, when you've cut the kind of services that kids need, who is going to do this work? As we know, many Chicago schools, they are overcrowded, and just last year, a large number of teachers were laid off. So are Chicago students being prepared enough to be able to even be concerned about their future?"
I think that the question is a good one, and I think the way in which we can approach it is this. In 2020, this was when it would be implemented. So we have 3 years to really look at what are the supports that are needed in the system in order to actually make this an effective program. One of the things I think that has been pointed out, and it was actually done in 2015, it was called Close a Belief Gap. And they looked at a charter school in Chicago that was requiring an acceptance letter in the same way that Rahm Emanuel was pushing this. And they saw that in the process of this intentional goal setting, that they needed to increase the number of counselors. And they went, I think, for 6 counselors, one counselor for 70 students. I think nationwide at that time it was one for every 450 students. There was a need to increase those counselors in order to give the proper guidance for the execution of the program, and they saw great results. And so I think there's going to have to be an investment made by Chicago Public Schools in order for this to actually be a successful program.
And if that investment is not made, Karen Lewis also has said this could force kids into poverty. Would you agree with that, Luther?
I'm not quite sure what she may mean by forcing them into poverty. The reason for this program is to try to raise children out of poverty. Some of these kids are very high risk. They're in, their backgrounds may support the idea that some of the guidance that some kids will traditionally get for going into a life after high school, some of them are not getting. So I think the mayor is trying to find a way to help those kids that are in schools that are high risk to have a goal set for them in order for them to have opportunity and success later on in life.
Now, you say a lot of these students are high risk and they live in communities where they aren't being afforded the opportunities that they need to succeed. What do you think these students will resort to if they're not able to provide acceptance letters to college or to jobs, and or if they don't want to enroll in the military and their diploma is withheld? What do you think that they're going to do?
Well, I think you mentioned at the top of the hour, at the top of the segment, that you were looking at what are the options. The options are jobs. The option is a job offer. The option is a gap year. A job is an opportunity to two-year school or four-year school. But there seems to be a program already in place in Chicago that allows for students to be automatically accepted upon graduation into the community college system. So I think there are enough options that support the outcome of what the program is trying to produce.
All right. Now, a lot of people would disagree with you, and they say that this rule is unfair, that some of these community colleges aren't even going to prepare students for the real world because there aren't the right professors there to teach these kids what they need to learn in order to be successful. Now, in your opinion, what could be, if anything, a better solution for these students?
Well, I think right now around the country, and specifically in Chicago, we're facing issues around teachers, having the best teachers for our students. We're facing the issue around resources, materials in schools, poverty and the impact of poverty. So we really have a solution problem that we need to address immediately, and that is having a collective conversation on all the variables, all the environmental circumstances that affect a child's learning, and then really work towards issuing programs either like this or others that really work to answer the critical question for that child being able to achieve in the 21st century.
All right. Thank you so much, Luther. That was Luther Mercer, education advocate and lawyer. That's it for Race in America. I'm Ashley Banks. Follow me on Twitter at @AshleyBanks_RT. And don't forget to question more. Back to you, Manila.
And did you hear how the brother was trying to defend Rahm Emanuel? And this is the same Rahm Emanuel, remember, that it was uncovered under his watch as mayor about these black sites, BLACKSITES, black sites. These Chicago versions of Guantanamo Bay, where the chief of police, under the authority of the mayor of the city, was kidnapping black youth off the street, sodomizing them. You can Google this, brothers and sisters. Listen to what I'm saying. Go, instead of just taking my word for it, Google it, and how they were torturing these black youth, and I think they settled on a few million dollars to pay some of these parents or whatever for the victimizing their children. This is real. So how can we think that his plans for you are benevolent when we've seen his plans and his underhanded plans of raping, robbing, and brutalizing your children? Would you go to the rapist and ask the rapists to pass a policy that would outlaw raping and that would better suit the victims? No, that would be insanity, right? So why would you go to the mayor that did all this and push his policy? There must be an ulterior motive there. Is that not right? We're living in the twilight of the American Republic. She's in the death throes now. Black man and black woman, what I'm trying to do, what this show is about also, is to promote critical thinking skill, because we have become lazy in analyzing things, especially when we hear the devil talking. Sometimes we just accept it for what he's saying instead of analyzing these things and putting them on a scale of facts. We question ourselves, we question each other, but we never take the time to sit down and question this devil. And remember, a lot of stuff is happening in Chicago as pilot, right? As a pilot program. Why? Because Chicago is under the burden of the judgment, and it will spread rapidly from Chicago. We're looking at this. You understand? And this is your brother talking to you. So because America is so wicked with us, we see her fall as evident. Now, Blog Talk Radio is blocking me from playing clips. I'm trying to play some clips for you, Black Men, and they know that the time is limited, all right? But I'm still going to talk to you, whether they block or whatever. We are going to talk. I want you to understand that America is in trouble. I want you to understand that she cannot extricate herself from this. I want you to understand that this is the end as we know. We know this. She knows this. And all while she's suffering from the violence, we see economic plight. We see a political plight. We see a geopolitical plight. I was just reading the news while they were having this interview that I was on this clip that I was just playing for you guys. I was just reading the news, scanning the news, and they were talking about a regional war taking place. All of the pieces are being set up for a regional war in the Middle East, and one of the articles had a headline saying, as Daesh is in the death throes, aptly titled after the show, as Daesh is in the death throes, could sleeping regional conflicts catch fire? They're talking about the Middle East. We told you that there will be a great MENA conflict. We told you this. Now they're asking the question. We told you this years ago, right? Now they're starting to ask the question because they're seeing all of the puzzle pieces on the chessboard in place. You will listen to them when they write it, but you write us off when we tell you. But this shows you that you don't accept wisdom from your own kind. You'll go and give CNN credit. You'll go give all of these other news, but you won't give us credit. That's the mind of the devil. I know just as much as those niggas. That's how you look at us. You don't look at us as your brothers. But you have to be convinced. So there must be so many more events that take place that force you to get that devil mentality out of your mind, out of your heart. I want to say this to you right here and right now. America will not be able to sustain herself. She won't be able to save you from what is coming. Your only refuge is in Allah, who has come in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due. How is it that we tell you these things in the news long before they ever happen, and then the news come right behind and say what we're saying, and then you will accept part of it from the news, but you didn't accept it when we were telling you this? As a matter of fact, I was looking at something, and I see some of the clips didn't go through. I guess Blog Talk did forget that. We're not letting that jugger put more clips. But remember I told you, and nobody else was saying this, about the Libyan situation, long before they invaded Libya, long before they killed our brother Muammar Gaddafi, long before they savaged and ravaged the country of Libya. I told you that Brother Saladin had told me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said that Libya would play a part in the fall of America. And do you now see how all of the great players on the chessboard are now in and out of Libya? Are you not seeing that there's a great power struggle in Libya? Are you not seeing that even America is being pushed out of that area? And all of the stuff that she's doing has blown back on her and Britain and France and Europe, economically and politically. Huh? Do you not see that? Matter of fact, let me play this two-minute clip. I think we got like 6 minutes. Let me play this two-minute clip here. Pay close attention to this clip about Libya.
What newsrooms decide to cover is important. They get to decide what everyone's going to be concerned with. They have huge power. So what stories news organizations choose to cover is incredibly influential. But maybe just as influential is what they decide not to cover. Like, for instance, when mainstream American news outlets decided not to cover a British report, which basically destroyed the U.S.'s official narrative about why the West invaded Libya a couple years ago. Journalist Joe Loria did a great job investigating how the American media covered this report in an article for Consortium News entitled Hiding U.S. Lies About Libyan Invasion. In it, Loria leads us through his journey of trying to find out just how the U.S. covered this British report. Basically, the report says that the West's military intervention in Libya was based on inaccurate intelligence and erroneous assumptions. So this should have been big news to Americans, who are supposedly so concerned about how their government acts. This British report says that we backed a completely bunk invasion on another country, and that should have been big news. The report also says that the intervention was a bust, causing political and economic collapse, humanitarian crises, and even the growth of ISIS. So this British report basically says that the invasion was a catastrophe, which should have been big news. Not only did we back an invasion into a country for the wrong reasons, but it helped grow ISIS, supposedly our biggest threat. So it's crazy that Loria's article basically shows that the U.S. media completely ignored this British report altogether. For his article, Loria did a lot of searching through archives. He looked through the Washington Post to see if they covered the damning report, but couldn't find one article about it. Same thing for the LA Times. He found one article from the New York Times about the report, but it was out of their London bureau, not New York, and entirely blamed the Brits and the French, leaving out any U.S. blame entirely. Loria found very few articles from mainstream news outlets about this British report in his extensive search, and most were out of foreign bureaus or scrubbed America's responsibility from the report altogether. So apparently, most mainstream American newsrooms all decided not to cover this report, which leads to most Americans not knowing how screwed up it was that under President Obama, we fueled a botched invasion. So that's exactly why what the media doesn't cover is just as important as what they do.
These things in the past 33 long years. Hey, it's the very man that is speaking. Oh, Chicago, hypocrites, I'm sorry for you. I said too with Job, warn to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, seeking to destroy.
Politically, right? Racially. Is that not right? Why did he call it out like that? Pay close attention.
Did these things in the past 33 long years. Hey, it's the very man that is speaking. Oh, Chicago, hypocrites, I'm sorry for you. I said too with Job, warn to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, seeking to destroy the umbrella because God has blessed him and because God is more favorable to him than he is with you. Cain was jealous of his brother because Abel's sacrifice was accepted while his was rejected. This made Cain real jealous and envious, and when jealousy and envious entered his heart, murder also was there. He desired to see his brother destroyed. The same is in your own bloody, wicked heart today. You would like to see Elijah Muhammad destroyed. You would aid those and are aiding them who would do such things. You are not satisfied to go out and leave us alone. You want to try to drag out all you possibly can, that you may be strong enough to destroy Elijah Muhammad. But I say unto you and all of my people in Chicago, if I didn't have not one of you with me, there is 4 billion 400 million of my kind on the planet Earth. Africa and Asia is back of me, and I don't need them. Allah is sufficient to protect me against the world's desire to destroy me, not to think of a few little weaklings who would walk around with rocks in the